Close your eyes. KillRadio.org. My name is Mark Caldwell, your spiritual host. Your spiritual practitioner, your host, and your DJ. That was a great song. I've only heard that song in passing, and I just put it in the playlist at that moment, not having heard it all the way through, and God, that's a great song. That was a band by the name of Mum, and a song called Smell Memory. And you know, this show is about... I'm really loud. This show is about life, and the study of life, and the study of life beyond perhaps what we might describe as the physical, as this physical world. So it's really the study of metaphysics, that intelligence, that love that seems to be going on the unseen side of life. You can say it's spirituality, and that would be also true. But I like to describe it that way because then there's no confusion. Oftentimes with words that we use a lot, like spirituality, there's immediately a subtext added to that. And so getting away from that, this is really the study of life. Your life, my life, our life, this life. Life with a capital L. And so when we begin to look at our own life, we begin to see that it comes down to what we call reality is really seeming reality. It is the reality of perception. And when we awaken to the truth that everything we see is based on our perception of it, then we have given ourselves the key to living a better life. We have given ourselves the opportunity to rise above the challenges we're having, the problems, to look at life not as set in stone, but as something for us to change and evolve and to grow out of. And perhaps that's why a lot of people would not describe themselves as spiritual. Perhaps that's why a lot of people more are religious. They'd rather be told what to believe and just do that. But the word of God, or just believing in God, really doesn't get you much. You may understand a whole bunch of stuff intellectually, but it is always in the practice that we experience life, that we give ourselves the opportunity to receive more in all ways. So more love, both receiving and expressing. More creative expression. Again, both expressing our creativity, our talents, our intelligence. Greater health, so that our health isn't based on misunderstandings about time or age or heredity. And also our consciousness of abundance, our finances. We are here to thrive. Just as the world thrives, so too are we. When we look around, we see that there is not shortages of anything naturally. There is more than enough. And so we get to identify ourselves as being one with that, as being one with life. And so we've been discussing the past couple of shows. We've been discussing spiritual economics, the spirituality of abundance, the principles and process of true prosperity beyond just money or things. And I've been sharing from the book Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth. And today we're going to really be looking at perception and how we perceive. So be willing to look at everything anew and you are renewed. Be willing to allow yourself to rise above that which appears to be keeping you stuck or keeping you in place, and we rise above. That is ultimately what the practice of any spiritual practice is about. So you're listening to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org.
Thank you.
killradio.org. That was an artist by the name of the Time Rider with a song called Here Comes the Sun. That was the Strikes Sunshine State of Mind remix. Again, the artist is the Time Rider. Before that, we heard, excuse my inability to pronounce French correctly, but I believe it is, the artist's name is Antoine de Lucie, and the song is Chanson son issue neuve. Anyway, God, I just shouldn't play French songs on the show. I should just make that a policy of close your eyes. No French songs. If I can't pronounce it, don't say it. God, then I wouldn't be able to play a lot of things. So much of the music I play, I don't know how to pronounce it. And then we start off the set with a band that I love, a group by the name of Bent. This song was, I believe, from their first album. It's called Cylons in Love. And that was a nice set, so welcome back. And before we take off, if you have any questions or would like to contact me during the show, you can always instant message me. Here at the station, we use the handle for AOL Instant Messenger, Kill Radio Station. All one word, Kill Radio Station. And I can answer any of your questions. Generally, when we're at music, I can do that. So to kind of quickly sum up what we've been talking about the past two shows, this thing called spiritual economics, this true understanding of prosperity beyond just the physical, beyond just the money, beyond just the possessions. And again, if you'd like to hear those shows, you can always download them. They're available from my MySpace page. You can see the links. MySpace.com/close_your_eyes_1. So it's close your eyes one with an underscore in between each of those four words, so to speak. So close_your_eyes_1. You'll see under the blog the links to download each of those shows. There's been two so far, and this is the third. But to quickly sum up, you know, we began really looking at that in order to really expand our understanding of prosperity, to live a more abundant life, we have to take responsibility for our own thoughts. And in so doing, we take charge of our own life. Also, we come to realize that we are, each of us, individually centers of the universe. And that we are surrounded by this thing that we call divine substance. And as we open up to it, our life unfolds accordingly. Also, we looked at keeping focus on that which we choose to have rather than that which we are concerned about having. So it's a practice of turning away from problems, turning away from challenges. And quoting Thoreau, the author, Eric Butterworth, says, keep moving in the direction of your dreams. And so understanding that we are present in the substance of the divine, the author says, we are not just acted upon by God, but we are the activity of God expressing as us. And to know that, we must also recognize from a cosmic point of view that the whole of God is present at every point in space at the same time. Again, the whole of God is present at every point in space at the same time. So the opportunity for us is to know and to affirm that each of us is established in the limitless substance of God, and we each have abundance. And then looking at how it begins with us, we come to know that we are in a world of consciousness, that it is our each of us are is living in the world that is an expression of our beliefs. As we believe, so we become. So when we center ourselves in a deeper awareness, seeing ourselves as one with the universe, then we see that these other things are not real. They do not have a consciousness of their own. They're simply an expression of a misunderstanding. And so we begin to chapter 3 of Spiritual Economics, again by Dr. Eric Butterworth. And this chapter is about visualization. And before I try to explain it, I'm just going to read the first chapter because he says it so perfectly. He says, one of the most important aspects of the study of truth is training the eyes to see properly. Since infancy, we have been using our eyes in progressive degrees of perceptiveness. However, a person is never really mature until he or she understands the basic process of visualization. We have been conditioned to believe that life is lived from the outside in. We see things out there and we react with attitudes and feelings about them. Without question, what we see is as it is. Seeing is believing. But what we, in other words, what we have to come to learn in this practice of looking at life beyond what appears to be before us, beyond the effects around us, is that seeing is not believing. Believing is seeing. So we see things not as they are, but as each of us is. Our perception is shaped according to our previous experiences, according to our past, according to our faith, and according to where we are in consciousness. And it is perhaps the hardest lesson to learn, because we live in a culture that blames the other and takes no responsibility. We look at the world and we see that as being the cause, rather than what it really is the other way around. We, each of us, is cause in our life. And the world we see, the world we experience, the world we perceive is simply the effect of that belief. And talking about visualization, the author says, when something in your world is awry, let's say it's inharmony in the office, or a business venture that isn't working out, or a bank balance that appears insufficient to meet current obligations, normally the first concern is to set things right. However, when each of us understands the law of visualization, each of us will realize that the greatest need is to not set it right, but to see it rightly. Right seeing is one of the most important keys to the effective demonstration of truth. More important than changing things out there is changing the way in which we see them. So it comes to where we have to take responsible to how we're perceiving something and being open to the truth that just because we're perceiving it a certain way doesn't mean that that's how it is. And he quotes Thomas Troward with this quote that really puts the process of visualization into a succinct form when he says, having seen and felt the end, you have willed the means to the realization of the end. And so having conceived and deeply felt something or experience, each of us can actually create the condition in mind that makes a particular result inevitable. This is a practice that we are already using. It's not something that is now new to us. We are constantly visualizing. And one of the ways that we constantly use this practice of visualization is in worry. Worry is based on the belief that some undesirable condition already exists, and people do use it like it's normal and natural and okay. And we'll talk more about that when we come back.
Hi, Blackbird, blackbird, why do you sit and say there's no sunshine in store? All through the winter you hung around. Now I begin to feel homeward bound. Blackbird, blackbird, gotta be on my way where there's sunshine galore. Pack up all my cares and woe, here I go singing low. Bye bye, blackbird, where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, and so is she. Bye bye, blackbird, no one here can love and understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. Make my bed and light the light, I'll arrive late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye. Bluebird, bluebird, calling me far away. I've been longing for you. Bluebird, bluebird, this is my lucky day. Skies are turning to blue. I'm like a flower that's fading here, where every hour is one long tear. Bluebird, bluebird, this is my lucky day. Now my dreams will come true. Pack up all my cares and woe, here I go singing low. Bye bye, blackbird, where somebody waits for me, sugar sweet, and so is she. Bye bye, blackbird, no one here can love and understand me. Oh, what hard luck stories they all hand me. Make my bed and light the light, I'll arrive late tonight. Blackbird, bye-bye.
Welcome back. That was Lamb with the Fila Brasilia remix of Cotton Wool. Before that, we started the set off with Gene Austin with a song called Bye Bye Blackbird. And we're talking about visualization as a form, as a tool of creating more prosperity in our lives in all ways. And again, I start off by saying, I ended the last segment by saying that we're already using this process of visualization. We're just using it in a negative way, and that is through the use of worry. And again, reading from Spiritual Economics, worry is based on the belief that some undesirable condition already exists. Worriers vividly picture in mind the undesirable condition that they are worrying about. Thus, because they see and feel the end, they will the means to the realization of the end. In this expression of fear and anxiety, we visualize the end and create the means in mind for its manifestation. This is the way mind unvaryingly works. And so the opportunity for us, number one, is to become very clear about what we're doing when we're worrying, to not justify worrying. Many people will justify worrying. They feel that they are showing care, or they think that they are being rational. What they are doing is being irrational, and through no fault of their own, they're creating a separation between themselves and the divine. And I guess it is Jesus who said, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." In this, he was saying that if we live in the belief that our experience is totally dependent upon what happens to us, we become tentative, cautious, even a little paranoid. And every changing condition has the power to pull our strings, to determine how we are going to think or feel or act. So by judging by appearances, we live life as if effects are cause. And the opportunity is to live life from cause, from that place of empowered being. That is what is meant by right judgment. It is also not settling on things as just the way they are or have always been. That's a good one. You hear a lot of people unwilling to change because they see what they have around them as being normal and natural, regardless of or not if it includes suffering. So when we start living, when we start knowing and really believing that life is lived from within out, from the inside out, and we start from this place and persistently establish ourselves in the consciousness of oneness, that our perception will reflect an attitude of openness, of renewal, of optimism. And having seen and felt the end, each of us will have willed the means to the realization of the end and will work for us no matter what happens in the world or outside of ourself. So it is this opportunity again to see from within out, to look from the place of oneness and unity, and turn away from the condition, the challenge, the problem. And we have to do so from the perspective that we are a creative being in this process, and that each of us has our own unique relationship with this divine flow of life. We are always one with the source of boundless ideas, creativity, and success. Now, the author wants to go on, and this is great because he wants to really be clear about what visualization is. And he says, we do not suggest that you sit around imagining bags of gold. There is a widespread practice of what is called treasure mapping, where one naively cuts out pictures from magazines that suggest the image of affluence and success and pastes them on a carefully designed poster. He considers this a gross materialization of a beautiful spiritual law. So this is not what we are referring to. We are not talking about seeing things like cars or houses or jobs, but rather seeing from a consciousness of ever-present abundance, which will become the magnetic force that draws the things to you, but without any of them ever becoming the object of our life. So meaning that we always stay as the attractor and we do not become distracted by that which we've attracted. So we don't put our power in the things, we put our power in ourselves. We keep ourselves established in God consciousness and we project that consciousness. No matter what comes our way, it is simply an effect of that consciousness. So an opportunity when we have to practice visualization is to look from the place, not of just material things, but a feeling of opportunity, of always. You know, abundant consciousness affects us in all ways, not just in our bank account, but also in our expression of health, our physical well-being. Also in our creative expression and creative opportunities. You know, each of us has so much untapped potential, and based upon how we've been conditioned to live in this world, we don't always tap into it. Most of us do not ever tap into even a fraction of this greatness that each of us already possesses. And so it is with this that we look. It is with this that we begin to see. And so an opportunity is to look at the world with the perception of the divine, almost to see as the divine sees. And that shifts our perception when we do so immediately. We see abundance where perhaps we didn't notice it. We see affluence and opportunity where perhaps we were too distracted to notice. We see all that is necessary to be seen. We see with the eyes that are truly our eyes. So the secret of achieving prosperity lies in so vividly keeping ourselves centered in the inner focus of affluence so that we literally exude the consciousness of it. This is often called the prosperity consciousness. It is not something that we gain through repeating prosperity affirmations over and over. It is getting ourselves centered at the root of reality within. We see abundance, not dollar signs, not things, not pots of gold at the end of a rainbow. The rainbow is seeing the storm through the raindrops. We see the appearance of whatever the need may be through the awareness of substance. We become a purveyor of the prosperity flow. So it is with this in mind that we can now look upon the world. It is with this in our heart that we can see with abundance.
Coming on Christmas, they're cutting down trees, they're putting up rain.
Welcome back. That, of course, was Joni Mitchell with the song River. And then before that, we heard Jose Gonzalez with the song Heartbeats, originally by The Knife, and then his acoustic performance of it that I just find so beautiful. And so as we look at how to see, we again are looking from the place of our own perception. So we do not see things as they are. We see things as, in a sense, we conceive ourselves to be. So spirituality is like a spiritual psychology in that it is always working on removing those false misunderstandings. Really about moving away from old conditioning that has caused us to perceive ourselves as limited, as disempowered, as not knowing. So we begin by first having to know. And this is one thing that you just have to accept again and again and again. That each of us was created in the image likeness of the divine. And so our true place is at the side of life. Not the side of death or hindrance or rejection or failing. So it is always never an act of gaining anything. In a spiritual understanding, in a spiritual practice of unfoldment, of renewal, of allowing the self, with a capital S, to come through, it always is about releasing the old, releasing the false, and allowing the truth of our being that is already established to come forth. And that, I guess, is what is different from someone who is spiritual versus someone who is religious. A religious person believes that they are already somehow established in negativity. They are established in imperfection. And it is only through the worship of God and practicing those rules that one can have salvation in the afterlife. The spiritual person says something different, that being that we were created by God, then we were created by a divine consciousness that would not do, and this is my term, half-ass work, would empower us with all that the divine is. So it's not as if the divine has done a half-assed job with any of us. The divine has given us the opportunity to be free. Sadly, in our freedom, we have chosen limitation, and we see limitation as real. And so through the process of spiritual unfoldment, through the process of meditation, and of expanding one's consciousness, do we begin to not just believe in God, but to believe as God believes, to perceive as the divine perceives. We were born to achieve, to release our inner power, to fulfill our uniqueness. We were not here to flounder, to fail, to suffer. In fact, the world has done that more than enough for lifetimes. Probably about as many times as we can blow up the world with nuclear bombs, has humanity suffered million upon million times. So it is our opportunity to remember
that it is just as easy to see ourselves successful as it is to see ourselves a failure. Except to see ourselves as successful is far more interesting. Now, although it is just as easy, doesn't mean it is easy to do. We have been conditioned, we have been invited, we have been taught to believe in ourselves in failure. To talk good about ourselves has negative connotations with it. We are considered conceited or arrogant, or if someone gives us a compliment, sometimes they'll preface it with saying, I don't want your head to get big here. You know, or people start talking as if they're, you know, caca don't stink. The thing is, we are all uniquely great. There is no competition with that. The world is set up for us. And each of us is here to be that unique expression. So this is how one way we can practice visualization. I'm just going to read a study that was done by the University of Chicago. A number of students were divided into test groups, three in fact. They were tested for their proficiency at throwing basketballs into a hoop. So the first group of students was told to go home and then forget about the test. So first they all did it. They all got tested. They were divided up in groups. The first group was told to go home and forget about the test. The second group was told to come back to the gym 1 hour a day for 30 days and practice shooting baskets. The third group was told to find a quiet place at home where 1 hour a day for 30 days, they were just simply to imagine themselves throwing basketballs into the hoop. And so at the end of the 30 days, the students were assembled again for a retesting. The first group, as expected, showed no improvement. The second group, after 30 hours of practice, showed an improvement of 24%. The third group, however, the ones that imagined, showed an increase in proficiency of 23%. So their improvement nearly equaled those who practice every day, even though they were practicing in mind rather than in physical practice. And so this kind of makes sense, because what we do is we make way for the mind. What is anything that we're doing but our mind is remembering experiences? And we become so comfortable with the experience, we so come one with it, then it unfolds accordingly. So the opportunity here is to practice this mental discipline of visualization. The term positive thinking is used, but it's really kind of misleading in that we're not just thinking positively, we are thinking truthfully. We are thinking from a place where the truth of our being is coming forth. And yes, that is positive, but by saying positive thinking, it gives equal weight to negative thinking, as if those are both one and the same, or flips of each other. Now, one is truth, one is truthful thinking, one is what a lot of us are doing now is untruthful thinking. So it's more than just everything's going to be all right. We have to be clear about what it is and where it is that we are going. So you can use this in your work, in the way you believe, in what you think. You can use this in a project you're working on. So it's always about creating the end. See, and this is how we do it. We buy a ticket to Paris. We don't know how to get there. And in fact, the pilot doesn't know how to get there. He uses instruments to get there. But we've all agreed that we're going to Paris. So we buy the ticket, and the universe finds a way, in this case, in the physical world, that this plane, which we get to in time, we get everything in order, and we go on our way. We're settled in faith that we're going to get there. And the pilot, too, knows that they may not be able to get there on their own, but through instruments they can. Our mind works the same way. We create a beacon in the distance, almost like a lighthouse, and we just go towards it, and we know that we will find the means. That is ultimately what visualization is in a mechanical-like description. So place that beacon. See what it is that you are willing to own in mind and heart. And then own it. Hold it dear, but not clutch on it, and let it be. Welcome back to Close Your Eyes on KillRadio.org. That was M83 with Be Wild. Before that, we heard a group by the name of the Knot Twist with Neon Golden. And we have really taken care of that chapter very well, Chapter 3 of Spiritual Economics, called The Law of Visualization. And if you're interested in learning more about this type of understanding, I highly recommend this book. This book's been a great part of my spiritual unfoldment and my expansion of my own consciousness of abundance. And it's something that I wanted to work on again, so I thought we'd all work on it together. And so with that in mind, I think we're going to go to the meditation early today. So I invite you to take part, to just sit back if you can in your chair, or if you are at work, just to be with the meditation so these words, these simple expressions of truth, do their perfect work through you and as you. And just know that it is more than just me speaking them. It is simply the truth of being spoken. So just sit back, close your eyes if you choose, as we begin. So let us begin by being conscious of our breathing. Just allow yourself to observe the breath, breathing in, breathing out, easily, effortlessly, harmoniously. Just observe how the body responds to breathing in and breathing out. Look at each activity as a complete and separate act. That breathing in is complete and perfect, and breathing out, complete and perfect. So as you breathe in, know that you are breathing in life. All that it is, all its intelligence and its power, we breathe it in. We allow it to empower our body. And as we exhale, we impart ourselves with the breath. So in our physical universe, it appears as if the sun is at the center of it all. So let us imagine ourselves as this point of light, each of us. So each of us is a center of the universe. Each of us is an opening to let more of the unseen side of life, to let it in, to let it through us and as us in the way that we express. So see yourself as that centered being, as that expression of light, as that means by which God gets to express God's self in this physical world. And if you can, with your mind, with the eye of your mind, see where the mind begins. Where's that point of beginning, of entry? Is it possible to see that entry point, the center? Where is the center of the mind? Place your focus there. Remembering that place of beginning, place your attention on your heart. Where is that place of centeredness? Where is the center of the heart, that place of entry where the divine expresses its love through us and as us? See if you can see where that point of light, that beginning is. See if you can figure out where the center of your physical being is. Some believe it is at the base of our abdomen, others at the center of our chest. But with your mind's eye, look and feel where it feels your center is, and see that place of entry where the divine enters our physical body and expresses through us and as us. These three points, see them as stars in the sky and connect them like a constellation. This is our being. This is the physical expression of our being. So allow these points to glow like a light, so that the edge of where this light begins and ends is farther than the physical body. So So breathe in to these three points. And as you exhale, imagine that you're blowing out, almost as if pushing the edge farther. Let it blow. Let it go. Let it expand. Let yourself be. So we have expanded the place of entry and how far this expression of self expresses, glows, shines. So know now that we are created out of a consciousness of abundance, a consciousness of empowerment. So let us be willing now to move beyond our current understanding, this current present level of comfortability. In this perfect moment, we're willing to know that we are more than our current level of understanding. That we are more than this current level of expression. Call this potentiality. We are simply awakening that which is already within us. A fuller expression of perfection. Completeness of being, wholeness. We are simply awakening to the enlightened one that each of us already is and that is already established. So with the simplicity of a child, know that you are more than this moment. Through no fault of our own, we accept that we are more than this. And so we are willing to shift our consciousness, to expand it, to leave behind the false, the limited, and the misunderstood, and just allow the divine self that each of us embodies to come forth. So know these words with me as I speak them for us. Here and now, I see myself as more than this. And I now look upon my life as simply being an expression of expansion. I'm willing to leave behind the comfortable and to allow renewal to take place. So I'm willing to see myself as the divine sees me. The divine looks upon my physical self and sees its own reflection. I'm willing to know myself as the reflection of this divine expression of life that we call God. So I expand my vision, I practice perceiving and seeing as the divine perceives and sees, to see myself as one with life, and to know that I am already established in prosperity, abundance, and unity. So I'm grateful to renew. I'm grateful through the simple practice of unfoldment to expand. And I'm thankful that I get to see myself as God sees me. So with gratitude, with trust, I release these words, these simple expressions of truth, knowing that they are complete, that they are done, and that they are already so. And so it is. Amen. When you're ready, you can open your eyes, increase the level of your breathing, and bring yourself back to this moment. So welcome back. I want to thank you very much for joining today and to being a part of this study in truth, so to speak, this practice of seeing anew. It was the biggest breakthrough for me when I had to take responsibility for the way I was perceiving things, and to see that so much of how I was perceiving them was from my own misunderstanding, my own level of consciousness. And so we each have to take responsibility for that. We each get to take responsibility for our own thinking and perceiving. And then from that, we can go forward and allow life to lead us. So just know that Close Your Eyes webcasts every Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific time at killradio.org. Each of these shows are available for podcast from killradio.org's archive page. To see a list of recent shows, you can also go to my MySpace page, which is myspace.com/close_your_eyes_1. So close your eyes, number one, just one, not the word, the number, with an underscore in between. Again, close_your_eyes_1. And we have ended early today because the chapter was a little short. So I'm going to wrap it up. Coming up next is a re-webcast of Is Good, which is John Hirschfield's show on Thursdays. I believe that is followed by... I'm not remembering, but I put a great selection of shows to hear. If you have any questions, you can always email me at awakeningdaily@yahoo.com. Again, that's awakeningdaily@yahoo.com. And later today, this recording, this podcast will be available. So I thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Close Your Eyes on killradio.org. Please stay tuned. There'll be some dead air. I have to make an adjustment in the board. So bear with. Thank you so much.